Hi and hello, football fans. It's your old pal Dave, Dave Damashek. What's going down? I hope all's well wherever you are. Welcome to the Dave Damashek football program presented, as always, by McDonald's. All day breakfast, go out, get you some. It's the holiday season, but unlike the holiday season, which is going to come and go, you can go get all day breakfast even come January when you watch your playoff action in pro football, your college football stuff, and beyond, even NBA basketball. I wonder if we have time to talk about the NBA here, because Black Tie behind the glass was once again shooting his mouth off yesterday as we were watching a little bit of pro basketball. I don't know if we have time for that today, but we do need to dig in on his most latest ridiculous pro basketball conversation. Anywho, we have a lot to talk about here and now. Week 13, a review, a look ahead to week 14. Maurice Jones-Drew is going to be here. He's going to tell you why he thinks J.J. Watt is overrated. We're also going to dig in on all these big name coaches. Nick Saban, Urban Meyer, Sean Payton are some of the names out there. Hugh Jackson, Josh McDaniels. Where will they be come 2016? We're going to evaluate that, and we're going to talk about who are going to be the top teams in the AFC come playoff time seed wise, and who's going to get those wild cards. In the meantime, let's take a look real quick now at the NFC side of things with our main man seated to my immediate left all the way from London, England. Yeah, we're going to talk NFC, but his heart belongs to the Miami Dolphins. I speak, of course, of Handsome Hank. He's handsome, Hank. Hello, Handsome. How are you?
I am very well indeed. Thank you, Dave. It's nice to be here.
What a pleasure. You know, we do Game Day Blitz every Sunday on NFL Now. I encourage you, Nate, demand that you check it out. It's Ike Taylor, Maurice Jones-Drew, Bucky Brooks, Akbar Bajabiamila, and there is a little bit of business that I have to tend to, and it was ugly business on Sunday with Akbar Bajabiamila. We'll also cover that. I have a video that needs to be seen, and it's quite disturbing. Mo Damashek didn't care for it. I didn't care for it. Rational people who like to see some human beings treat other human beings nicely have to be outraged. And anyway, stick with us. Also, the Sheck Report coming up. Handsome, your Dolphins got a victory. Where would you like to see Sean Payton? You know, that's one of the places that he's rumored to go. Or would you like Hugh Jackson? Would you like Adam Gase? Where's your head at on this?
I do not want Sean Payton.
No.
I don't like Sean Payton. Sean Payton is, I think he would go there to retire. Sean Payton would remind me of a Jimmy Johnson type move where someone goes, Sean Payton needs a year away from football before he coaches.
What about the idea of Josh McDaniels? We're going to dig into this with Ike and MJD in a little bit, but
I mean, I like the idea, but just we've talked about it before. The pedigree of ex-Belichick coaches elsewhere hasn't been good, and I don't know that Josh McDaniels is going to be the guy that breaks that. But someone probably will do eventually. You've got to imagine that all the coaches that Belichick's had, one of them's going to be good in his own right. And at least McDaniels has had the benefit of failing something.
Failing was. It would be interesting, though, because the Mangini experience in with the Jets was fun, at least for the short term.
And he's the guy, actually, that I think might wind up getting the job there. Mangini right now is defensive coordinator with the 49ers. Him and Tannenbaum have a relationship. And I suspect that there may be something in the works already that way. Because I think the Sean Payton thing, I wouldn't trade draft picks for Sean Payton. I don't think the Dolphins should do that with all the holes they need to fill. And then the rest of it is much, you know, like, there's a lot of blah. Hugh Jackson would be a good, would be my other favorite pick.
All right, so he is leading one of the best offenses in the NFL right now. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. Let's look at the NFC, a weird one, an entertaining one, kind of, coming down the stretch on Monday Night Football. So let's dig in on very important stuff right now and take a look back at the Monday Night stuff, or at least a couple of moments from that game. And, you know, these conversations, people spend a lot of time talking about who's going to win a bum division. But come on, listen, this division, no one's going to, I don't know. What are we supposed to say about this NFC East? I was just about to say, As usual, those teams have no chance of going anywhere. But then again, I guess we saw the Arizona Cardinals go 8-8 and almost beat the Steelers in the Super Bowl a few years ago. If you put Eli and Coughlin into the mix, if they still get in there, I suppose they could pull an upset or two or three.
I think they could. I mean, out of all of them, I feel like the Giants are probably the one that could do it. The Eagles clearly, you know, on their day can do it. They beat the Patriots this weekend. The Redskins are in pole position at the moment and seem to have a pretty easy run-in. That said, I'm rooting against the Redskins. The other day, the Around the NFL guys, who you know we all respect greatly, have a segment for the first half of the season where they stick a fork in teams. Mm-hmm. And they didn't stick a fork in the Redskins. Now seems like a good idea, but I said to them that if the Redskins won the NFC East, I would never use a fork again in my life. So I'm rooting for the Redskins not to win, because otherwise I'm going to be left with the spork, which is difficult to explain.
Well, I do address the NFC East and specifically Tom Coughlin and what's going on there. It's a shame. Great respect for all he's accomplished, but right now, not looking very good.
That he can't
beat out. That any team can't emerge from this collection of bum teams says a great deal. And now the Cowboys talk about 2020 hindsight. Everybody gave them trouble a week or two ago for saying that they weren't going to IR Tony Romo in case they made it deep into the playoffs. Everybody laughed at that. But, you know, I guess they could get into the postseason now. Yeah. May as well.
I think, though, genuinely, whatever happens, I know that happened with the Cardinals, but whichever one of these four teams does win the division, I don't think they're going much further than one game into the playoffs.
Well, they would be the fourth seed. Let's talk about those contenders. But at the fourth seed in the NFC, it's going to be – I'm sorry, it would be the – yeah, so they would be the fourth seed. So the fifth seed's going to be the Seahawks. Yeah, they're going to get whipped. Think of it. Yeah, so we say Eli might be able to do something, but not against the Seahawks. Yeah. Not looking the way they are. And still, the Seahawks are looking up at the Arizona Cardinals. Handsome, top contenders here, 1-2-3. How do you have it? Panthers, are they going to hold on? They're two games up on Arizona right now. Are they your Super Bowl team? Are the Cardinals your Super Bowl team? Or are the Seattle Seahawks going to get into
Well, it's tough. I think the Panthers will go undefeated through the regular season.
Do you
at
really?
At this point, I think it's going to happen. I think that
against the Falcons.
Yep. Falcons are a slumping team. I would write off the Falcons as a team that could beat them. I think the Buccaneers present the toughest one for them. I think the Buccaneers are a team that probably, you know, they still have a hope of making the playoffs, by the way. And they play a big Thursday night.
That's game. By the way, at 6-6, and you know, the Vikings are interesting, and as a matter of fact, let's jump to that, because the Seahawks, we're assuming, are gonna hold on to that, even though they slot as the sixth seed right now. They're going to the postseason.
Right.
Everybody in the world is making that
and
assumption.
And I think they're probably playing
the
best. Outside of the Panthers, they're probably playing the best football in the NFC. Right,
and I kiss the Seahawks into that five spot, not the six. And here's why. The Vikings now play Arizona
this Thursday night.
On NFL Network. Tune in for that one. It should be a dandy. And, of course, like you say, the Eagles just beat the Patriots. And so, you know, to make assumptions. But I think the world is assuming the Cardinals are going to beat the Vikings. Maybe that's not a great assumption to make. But with the pieces that the Vikings are missing defensively, it just would seem to me that Carson Palmer should be able to carve them up pretty good.
I think that, I mean, I that's certainly the way my pick will go.
By the way, you know I'm biased. I like the Steelers and all that. But can you conjure a more entertaining Super Bowl right now than Carson Palmer pushing the ball downfield all day the way he's doing with all those receivers versus the Steelers? At least if you like throwing the ball. If you like looking at bombs on both sides of things. Carson Palmer against the Steelers secondary and Ben Roethlisberger attacking the Honey Badger and Patrick Peterson with his weapons. That would be a pretty fun game.
That would be fun. The other one that I think would be a lot of fun, and we saw it 2 weeks ago, is Steelers-Seahawks. I think that would be a fun game to watch just because of for the same reason, but I think that, you know, there probably would wind up being more points in that one.
Well, the Steelers may or may not get to the postseason. They have a really tough road to hoe if they're going to get there, but who's going to get the wild cards? In the NFC, we agree the Seahawks, right?
I think where it is now is probably where it's going to.
Do you really? Will the Vikings fall back? Or
I think they could flip flop positions, but I think it'll be those two teams.
Of course, it's worth noting that if the Seahawks, by virtue of the win, in Minnesota now hold the tiebreaker. So right. if the Vikings step back even once, then they fall to the sixth seed. Beware those Buccaneers, though, because look at the Vikings. They also, the Bears are not playing poorly.
Right.
The Giants figure to be playing
That's
for
their
something.
Week 16 game, and then they're going to play the Packers in week 17.
At the Packers to close things out in frigid Lambeau, mm-hmm. if that game has any import to the Packers, then certainly they're the favored team yep. in that matchup.
Yep, you'd think so.
So the Vikings could be in trouble. Can okay. Tampa catch, well, they've already caught a little bit of fire there.
Yep.
The famous Jameis. Pulling off some big comebacks and all that sort of stuff and playing better and better with each passing month.
Hey, Dave, can I go on the record and say I couldn't have been more wrong about Jameis in the pros? I really didn't think Jameis was going to be a great pro player, but based on his rookie season, I think he's going to be terrific.
Well,
be fun to watch for the next 15 years.
I'm not going to bag on you, but what were you thinking, man? Well, I mean, to me, this was a guarantee.
I just saw him in college. He was inaccurate. And I think that's one thing that you see when players come to the pros, you can't get away with it as much.
Yes, you can. This is one of the great fallacies that all the scouts, our pals Bucky Brooks and Daniel Jeremiah and ex-coaches perpetuate and quarterbacks perpetuate. Well, he's inaccurate. You know who else is inaccurate? Ben Roethlisberger, or at least he used to be, and Cam Newton still struggles with it a little bit. There are some wildly talented guys that overcome their inaccuracy issues by doing special things outside the pocket.
Right.
There are ways to overcome. Just because Tom Brady and Peyton Manning's virtues are their lethal accuracy or were in their primes doesn't mean that you can't succeed if that isn't the chief
Right,
but also quality of yours.
Brady and Manning in their primes, a lot of it was about that intermediate passing, whereas Jameis is pushing the ball down the field a lot, and there's more room for error.
I love it. You know, we talked in September and October about the scourge of the bubble screen, and it was really catching on and more and more and more.
Yeah.
Now these guys are starting to throw it. Some teams are having success pushing it down the field.
So the Bucs schedule, they're going to play the Saints. Then they play the Rams.
No gimme, too, by the way.
Then
but
they play the Rams on another big Thursday night game. I think probably if you looked at that in week 15 at the beginning of the season, you'd kind of shrug your shoulders and make other plans. But I think that Bucks at Rams game is
good. If the Buccaneers are 7-6, that's a good Thursday night game.
See,
and by the way, the Thursday night games, as much as people make fun of them and the lack of quality, the Thursday night games have
been
really
fun.
Good this year.
They've been
year.
Some good games. And then they play the Bears. And then again, another one that anything could happen. Old NFC Central matchup. Love it. And then the Panthers.
Oh, yeah. Remember when the Bucks had never won a game when it was colder than 32 degrees outside? And they were in the NFC Central?
Yeah.
Which was
tough,
a sad thing.
Place to do
it's
that.
Not like they only played one game a year or so under 32 degrees. They always, they'd have to go up there and Lambeau and everything. Yeah, those were, Tampa Bay, though, if they're 7-6, that's going to be a fun game to watch, and they'll probably be expected to win that one. Hey, before we get to to Ike Taylor and Maurice Jones-Drew.
Easy to confuse those two.
Emma VP is leaving us behind the glass. It's her last week here.
So she's hosting Thursday's show.
I think she does need to sit here in Studio 66 with us here instead of on the other side of the glass.
Hey, look, I got you a red challenge flag. Maybe I don't, but I would. If you come in here on Thursday, you can throw red challenge flags.
As a
How does that sound, Emma VP?
She politely declines.
What do you mean?
No, you don't get that's
you don't
not
get, that's
your
not
position.
An option.
That's what. Well, that's what.
Then you'll be shown the door. Then you don't need to show up at all because you'll be fired. How about that? Do you like that noise?
Yeah, she's getting fired anyway. Doesn't matter.
All right, I'll say a couple of things. First of all, Emma VP. Well, here's a question just to get warmed up for Thursday. Who of the people, if you're listening to the DDFP right now or watching the DDFP, only speak about those people that are relevant to the audience. People don't know some people who we work with. Of the people who we know, who's your favorite coworker?
Ooh, that's tough. I'm going to have to hand it to the Goth Kid because he will be taking over for me.
Matt Gothard. Okay.
Yeah, that's a good
Black
one.
Tie's
I
upset
Black
by
tie's
that.
Right here, but I'm going to be honest.
All right. And now, who's your least favorite?
And remember, because Black Tie doesn't have the headphones on, he doesn't know what you're going to say. So you can say his name or just point to him with your left hand.
Least favorite. But you know what? You know the rule, Emma VP. No jive.
It's all right.
We
got you. We got you. You didn't have to say it.
You
fingers
said
did
nothing.
The talking.
Your fingers told us what we needed to know.
Yeah. Okay, we got it. Black Tie.
Black Tie, why do you...
Why does everyone hate you?
Black Tie,
you know
I can't...
You know the rules, Hank. You ain't got haters, you're not doing something right.
Yeah. That's true if you're like a global superstar, but you're not.
If you like NBA ball, you're aware of the starters. And Trey Kirby, I've kibitzed with him on the Twitter. When are we going to do a home and home? We volunteer.
It's
we said, like,
works.
Yo.
Yeah, those are my peoples. It's in the works.
It's in the works. Mm-hmm.
They're his peoples.
They're my peoples.
Yeah. All right. I'd like to do that very much. I enjoy their program.
All he needs now is their contact details for his people.
Well, I mean, I was in studio in TNT, NBA TV, just a few months ago.
Black Tie, I have to tell a very quick story, and then we're going to get
no,
to
the Sheck
report.
No, we don't. We got to go. We got to wrap it up.
No, let's quickly hear it.
I'm going to tell this story. Whether you can continue to say, no, we don't have time for it, and that only makes this go a little longer.
All right, be quick.
Black Tie attacked me senselessly, verbally. He said, yeah, I don't want to hear about that you think the Cavaliers can beat Golden State. My preseason prediction was the Cavaliers over the Warriors. If I had it to do over again, yes, I would take Golden State, the undefeated Warriors. But I don't think it's implausible that with Kyrie Irving, that the Cavaliers with Kevin Love and LeBron James, who still may be the best player in the world, with all due respect to Steph Curry, I carried the noise on Steph Curry, that Golden State might struggle against LeBron's Cavs in a 7-game series. And he was outraged with me. That's laughable. You're just applying narratives. I said, I don't even know what that means. I'm just applying narratives. And Black Tie said to me, and the entire room heard him say this, he said, you got to listen to me, Sheck. I've been doing this a long time. Been doing what a long time? Been doing this a long time.
Talking rubbish about basketball.
Exactly, I stand by.
But you're crazy though, because I support Golden State. I picked them to go to the finals. I in October, I said, all right, I think that LeBron will get over the hump this year. It's not crazy to say that might still happen.
No, because they play in the East, and I still don't think the Cavs are a top 3-4 team in the league.
I know, but I'm not your enemy, and the way you attacked me,
you've been attacked verbally by Black Tie and then physically
by Akbar. We're going to show you that.
Both Nigerians. I don't know what that's.
What does that tell you? I don't know what.
All right, let's get the Sheck report.
Thank you, Black Tie, Emma VP. Keep getting warmed up there because you're in here, whether you like it or not. Get ready.
You are coming in here on Thursday.
Handsome Hank, terrific stuff. We'll see you again Thursday. And now we're going to show you the Sheck Report, and then Ike and MJD are going to join us here. But stick around for the Sheck Report. I divine. Did you see Brian Hoyer throw that pass to the one tight end and not the other? Big Ten roots is the reason for why he threw it to the one tight end and not the other. I explain why, plus some Odell Beckham stuff here in the Sheck Report. Take it away, Dave.
Dave Damashek.
You've done it again, Damashek. Well done. Well done. Hey, here we are back in Studio 66, and look who's joining us. UCLA's, Raiders, Jacksonville's, and now NFL Media's Maurice Jones-Drew. What's the poop, fella?
Sheck, man, I missed you, man. It's been too long.
I missed you, too, but it's good to see you once again.
I'm glad you're actually okay after Akbar smacked you.
That was an outrage. That was outrageous. We'll get to that. We'll hip you to what happened on Sunday. It was none too pleasant. Yeah, well, listen, it was a senseless attack.
Can't keep it tooted.
We'll show it in a second. And also, let's say hello to Ike Taylor. What's the poop with you, fella? After a big Sunday night performance by your old pals in Heinz Field.
I like how you tooted your own horn when you came in through the intro.
What do you mean? Oh, with the Sheck Report? What is? You know how I feel. No jive is the standard, and it's no jive. Exceptional
work. No jive,
work.
But you can't jig that toot on set like that. You got to roll over on your back.
I don't know what any of that means.
Your stomach.
All right, listen. Now let's have a talk, and you can talk with us. Hashtag DDFP, and it's really important because, you know, the holidays are fun for the most part, but they can present some difficult emotional issues, and that's why we're going to do Dear Ikey today. Ike, MJD, take your relationship questions. We have one from an NFL football player, Terrence Newman, to be specific.
T. Newman.
Yeah, and we're also, you know, they say think globally, act locally. We're also going to take some questions from behind the glass, from Emma VP and the Goth Kid, and we'll see who else. So we're looking forward to that. Meantime, the college football Final Four is now out. It is Clemson, and they're going to play Oklahoma, and then Bama's going to play Michigan State. My only quibble is that really Michigan State should have jumped Bama, but no matter because they would play each other either way. Are we cool with how that shook out, everybody?
I see the big picture.
I like it.
I see the big picture. Everybody just looking at the four teams, but they ain't looking at the top two teams, the winner of each game.
Yeah.
Who's going to win those games?
Well, it's matchups on matchups. So like MJD said, man, you got Oklahoma in Clemson, they like to spread everything out. Mm-hmm. You got two pro set teams in Michigan State and Alabama. They're going to bang it out. But at, by the end of the day, man, a spread versus a pro set offense, that's going to be one.
Yeah, that's going to be your final, right?
I like that.
Mm-hmm. Are you going to watch those games on December 31st, though? Isn't that weird? They're going to be on New Year's Eve. A lot of people are going to.
Oh, no, you'll watch them because, you know, the West Coast, the ball ain't going to drop till.
That's true. But people on the East Coast, at least, a lot of guys are going to be. Well, I don't want to say it's all only guys that are going to watch it, but a lot of relationships are going to be disrupted by that.
Why not bring in the new year with the ass kicking? If you could say that.
Listen, I'm more than happy to watch it. But, you know, I think some people will be dragged against their will out to socialize instead of getting to watch college football. We're here to talk pro football right now. I like to look at the Final Four in the NFL. And in the last January of 2016, who will it be? Here's my updated look at it. You know what well, Ike, if you don't like me patting myself on the back, well, then turn away here because in August, I said Chiefs Seahawks in the Super Bowl. That looks better than it's looked all season long. I mean, legitimately, I can see the Chiefs. I'm not making this up just to serve my own purposes. I could see the Chiefs going into Foxborough and beating that team with those big corners. They would have. I could see Sean Smith and Eric Berry kind of working on Gronk and taking away the rest of New England, as we saw on Sunday. You know, once you get past Gronk,
they put a beat 'em up on them last year too.
Yeah, that's right.
They
can play, man. They're not. You know, you said it right. They're not scared of them.
Nobody.
Uh-uh. And I've got Seattle on the other side of things now. That's absolutely realistic. They're going to be your five seed.
Russell Wilson the last 2 weeks?
I'm terrified.
In that offense?
Do you guys have any changes to what you just saw there? Who's your Final Four right now? The Cardinals or the Packers? Are they one of the teams? Am I missing out on either of those guys getting into this thing?
I would have the Cardinals instead of the Seahawks because they beat them in Seattle. Mm-hmm. And that there, it was a convincing win, too. It wasn't like one of those luck ones. It was a butt kicking. So, and then the AFC, I think, to be honest with you, I like the Chiefs. I don't know if the Patriots get there, though, because they're at the number three seed now. So I don't know if they make it out.
Well, the Broncos and Bengals play each other in Week 16 on Monday Night Football. So one of those two teams is going to go down. And then both of those teams in the next 2 weeks play the Pittsburgh Steelers, who might end up on the outside looking in. And after you watch them on Sunday night, what a shame that would be. And I don't just say that as a Steelers fan. I say that as a all right, I do primarily. But legitimately, you have to be able to say, that's a pretty fun team to watch. And they're unstoppable on offense all of a sudden.
No. I mean, we were talking about it earlier, right? Martavius,
Antonio Brown, Wheaton is starting to find himself.
How about that?
D'Angelo Williams.
D'Angelo is playing like a 26-year-old. He said something good, too, last night in his postgame. Like, I didn't take this beating and this pound in North Carolina.
That's so true.
Yeah, I had to get my weight down. I understood that, but I'm kind of fresh right now. I got two or three good years in me, and it's showing.
Yeah, 32 years of age, but because of the Jonathan Stewart and basically being running back by committee the bulk of his career. Mm-hmm. Not to mention he's been hurt a lot himself, so he's been sitting down a lot. Yeah, he's relatively fresh at 32. I could see on the other side of things, the Broncos all of a sudden, I'm done with that story. Even though the Broncos are, Brock Osweiler's breathed some new intrigue into them,
I can't see the Broncos making it.
The only thing is they run the ball well and their defense is playing lights out still. They're getting points from their defense. And you remember what the Ravens did. I know we don't like to talk about the Ravens on this show, but when they had Trent Dilfer, man, they went on that stretch where the offense didn't score a touchdown for 4 or 5 weeks, and they did all the work. So if you have a defense that can do it, you get enough for a running game, you'll be fine. They have two guys that can run the ball, so they have a chance.
I just think their D-line is built to attack the passing game. I don't think they're built to stop the run. You find a good legit running team, it's gonna hurt them.
That's insight that I thought was gonna be true, and yet nobody's really grinding them on the ground yet. But maybe a team like the Bengals will expose that with Jeremy Hill
consistently. And, like you were saying with Minnesota, you give AP 8 carries against Seattle. You know he's going to start off slow because you know that defense is going to be amped.
Answer me this. So the Bengals, the Steelers go to them, and it's a big game. And, you know, the AFC North is pretty much settled at this point. But do the Bengals, you guys have been around it enough, and all the guys say the right things, Marv on down, but do the Bengals, including Andy Dalton, believe in their heart of hearts, do they think Andy Dalton can win on the road in the postseason? Do they think he can go into Foxborough or Denver and win a big playoff game?
I mean, history just comes back to Andy Dalton in the playoffs, man. He's just not good in the playoffs.
But don't they know it? Don't they? Don't the Bengals secretly, maybe Andy's not around? Like, well, Andy's not here. We can talk honestly. He has no chance.
You're going to forever say this is the year right here.
Like, you got to.
If you're going to say this is the year where Andy Dalton can go anywhere and lead this team past the first playoff game. You know what I'm saying? Because they got the tools to do it, and he's playing with a whole lot of confidence. It's just he got to do it. He hasn't done it. So that's why we're going to keep talking about this what-if factor.
Well, think about what Peyton Manning had to go through. As many times he made the playoffs and got kicked, bounced out right away. And they always, they're starting to compare Andy Dalton to Peyton because he was one of the only two quarterbacks, him and Peyton, to throw for 3,000 yards in five straight seasons and all these things. Well, let's see if he can get over the hump. Because once Peyton got over the hump, he won a Super Bowl, but then he went back to being Peyton again.
That's right. It's not to say that Dalton can't do it, but guys usually regress to what they are or they rise to what they are in the postseason. And Peyton Manning is what Peyton Manning is. And I think Andy Dalton, if people say, well, Joe Flacco did it. First of all, Joe Flacco has a different kind of arm than what Andy Dalton has. And practically that made a big difference in those games that they won in Denver and then in New England a few years ago. The other thing is, too, maybe Dalton can do it, but I don't think he's this guy who every year we're going to suddenly see, even if he does do it this year, who's just, Andy Dalton's Bengals are always a tough out come January.
It's crazy how we're talking about Andy Dalton. He's consistently over the past 3 years been putting up Peyton Manning-like numbers in the regular season, but still can't get over that playoff hump.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you say that this might be the year, and I agree with you to this extent. Hugh Jackson has done marvelous things that Jay Gruden kind of did. He had a couple of moments there in Cincinnati with that offense. So that leads me to this. Hugh Jackson is one of the six big names out there that I circle. Let's say Hugh Jackson, Sean Payton, Adam Gase, Nick Saban, Urban Meyer. Let's go one by one and say where each of these big name coaches is going to be come 2016. Let's start with Sean Payton, MJD. Where's he coaching next year?
Probably not New Orleans.
Okay.
I'm going to have to say Miami or New York, the Giants.
We talked to Jeff Darlington on Game Day Blitz.
That's right.
And he said that Sean Payton is, dyed in the wool, Bill Parcells kind of guy. That makes perfect sense. I don't think, for all the great deeds of Tom Coughlin over the years, this is it for him. You know, I really do think, especially, he's losing out to Jay Gruden. That's too shameful to overcome. So I think Coughlin's out. That Sean Payton to New York makes a lot of sense to me. You agree with that one, Ike?
Yeah, I do. Because of the history.
Next.
Because of the tree.
Adam Gase, where will he go? He's having another good year there in Chicago. He's done something a lot of people didn't think anybody could do. He made Jay Cutler look good, at least for a month or so.
Yeah, I'm still going to let him sit.
Oh, he's going to stay in OC?
Yeah, I'm going to let him stay in OC one more year. I'm going to get Hugh before Gase. I'm going to let Adam sit a little bit. I like Hugh's resume, and I'm going to put Hugh, man, I hate to say it, but I'm going to put Hugh in St. Louis.
St. Louis?
I'm going to put Hugh in St. Louis because they have that kind of Cincinnati Bengal personnel.
That's
Think
a
about
snappy
it.
Idea.
If I was going to say Hugh, I was going to say Tennessee Titans.
I like that you with a why? Young QB.
They have a young QB, a young wide receiver, a solid offensive line. Defense is okay, but he'll piece that together, and you just need a running back.
See, I'm saying Hugh. The only reason why I'm saying Hugh at St. Louis because, okay, we can get Nick Foles back to being okay. Like, we don't need Nick Foles to be, like, a top 10
quarterback. No, I've said it. It's Colin Kaepernick for the L.A. Rams in 2016.
No, listen, though. So now I get Trey back next year.
Oh, yeah.
With Gurley and my studded receiving core. Hopefully, Stedman can come back from his injury.
Right.
Still got Britt a first-rounder. Mm-hmm. Tavon Austin a first-rounder. Brandon Cooks at the tight end position. I'm sure he would love to use him like Eichel over there in Cincinnati. Man, I'm cooking with gas. My defense has been... okay, we haven't been playing.
They haven't been
attention.
As good as they should have
no,
been.
No, we haven't been playing at all at our attention, but I think I can change.
Yeah, Jared Cook, quiet in that offense, but everybody has. The OC is now out there. We'll see in the last days here.
Wow, right?
Todd, you know what? Hugh Jackson has done wonders with a power running game, too. You know, a lot of fireworks with this year's Bengals. But if you give him Todd Gurley, I like where your head's on that one. I think Gase goes to somewhere like Tennessee. Yeah, that seems like a fit Tennessee. Down there to me. Nick Saban, where will he be? Taylor, will he stay in Bama?
The word on the street is he doesn't like Bama.
He don't like Bama.
Well, why not Coach K that? Why not stay there and get paid and win championships forever?
I don't understand why coaches get anxious like that. You're in top. You're the king. I don't think
that he gets anxious. They say that the boosters are always at him talking about the spread offense and we need to do this and he has to deal with that stuff.
I get it, but if you're going to give me some more money. Give me some more money then.
He's already got all the money in the world, I think.
Give me some more money.
You never can have enough.
You can never have enough. But this guy, like Coach K and Duke, man, just
I've heard
sit there forever and forever get paid.
People who would know about these things have told me Nick Saban to Indianapolis Colts is for real. They say Pagano, it's a fait accompli there. I mean, that would be neat. I don't know why the desire to have Nick Saban be your NFL head coach.
He's never been a real good NFL guy.
I know he failed in Miami, so I'm not.
And then failed and bounced in the 2 years.
I would think it would be a more desperate, rudderless organization like the Browns or Tennessee. But the rumors I'm hearing say that he's going to Indianapolis.
I'll see Nick over in Texas before I see him in Indy.
Go back to UT to replace Charlie Strong.
I can see that before I can see the
interest. Urban Meyer. What do you think about Urban Meyer?
He ain't going nowhere.
Stay right there.
He ain't going nowhere.
That's another Coach K situation. Stay right there.
Why would you go to Cleveland?
I'm telling you what people say. I've heard that he is intrigued by the NFL. Then again, Bert Breer, our pal from NFL Media, says, no, he hears Urban Meyer, does not want to go anywhere. So we'll see. Well, I can see
Bert
him going
Breer's
there.
Bert Breer's a Buckeye fan, so he's making sure he tries to stay there.
But yeah, that's right.
You know, most coaches say that they're intrigued by college so they can get a pay raise.
And he didn't say, you know what else Urban Meyer didn't say? He said, I love Columbus and I'm not seeking other jobs. But he didn't say, so don't even bother calling me because we have nothing to talk about. You really don't want to move, then that's what you said.
You got to play that game when you can up the ante on your salary.
Yep. I got to play leverage. That game. Leverage is the key.
I got to take notes. I got to learn to do that too. I'm not looking to go anywhere away from NFL media. And Hugh Jackson, I love that idea. Any other idea for Hugh there?
I thought Tennessee would be a really good fit. New York would be nice too, though. If he went to New York City or... I think New York would be nice because you got to remember, he needs weapons. He doesn't really worry about defense as much.
Yeah, you got to give him Odell Beckham. That'd be nice.
That Miami wouldn't look too bad.
Ryan Tannehill.
I like that too.
I don't know if he could do Ryan Tannehill.
I think he can.
Devontae Parker and Jarvis Landry suddenly kind of juicy.
Stills.
And what about Josh McDaniels? He's going to let, Belichick.
That's crazy.
Belichick
right?
has no coaching tree, and it's the weirdest thing. Of all the coaching legends, Lombardi, Knoll, Landry, Parcells, Bill Walsh, they all have these big coaching trees. They spawned all these other great ones. Belichick has exactly zero. Josh McDaniel's looking to buck that trend.
This is going to be his second time, though. I don't think – you are who you are, right? I mean, you went to Denver, you stunk up the joint. Then you had Romeo Crennel go to Kansas City. Billy O'Brien in Houston.
I think it's a red flag. I'm with you completely.
I wouldn't touch those guys.
You know where I'm going to guess he goes? Josh McDaniels? The Detroit Lions.
I can see that. I can see that. But I was going to say college again, too, for Coach Josh Daniels. Like, I can see him. These are grown men in the NFL. They're not going to listen to too much.
Yeah, he's 35 years old?
Yeah, they're not going to listen to too much. I'm going to say, I can go down to college.
That's interesting.
And run down this college situation.
And if Nick Saban goes to Indianapolis, there's the vacancy. That's an interesting thought. I like where your head's at there. All right. The top seed in the AFC, we looked at that, so we'll skip that. Who will be the AFC wild card teams? As it stands right now, you have the Jets and the Chiefs. We're going to kiss the Chiefs into it because their schedule the rest of the way is a cakewalk. They shouldn't lose again. Maybe they'll lose one. Steelers, Bills, Jets. Steelers right now and the Jets, if they both win out, which they won't, but if they did, Steelers would get the tiebreaker by conference record. But what do you say, Ike Taylor?
It's a close game when Pittsburgh Steelers played the Cincinnati Bengals. Forget that. Like, it was a real close game.
Close one in Pittsburgh earlier this year.
And that's what I'm saying. If they can win that game in Cincy, I think they're going to beat the Denver Broncos anyway. So if they can win that game, beat the Denver Broncos, and try to split one of the last two, they got action. So I'm looking for Pittsburgh to sneak up in there.
I don't know, man. They got to go to Cincy and then play Denver.
That's how they look at the inconsistency they had and look at their record. They're 7-5. And don't forget, Ben hasn't played this whole season.
True enough. Yeah, when they have those pieces, they don't even have Le'Veon Bell out there. So, yeah, they're dangerous. It would be a shame to watch them watching from home. The Jets have to play the Patriots, and then they finish in Buffalo. So hopefully they'll cancel each other out. I say hopefully from the Steelers fans' perspective. But I'm gonna say Chiefs in the five spot, and I'll roll the dice. I'll say the most talented team out there is Pittsburgh. So I'm gonna say they get the six.
You're MVP. Being a homer right now.
Yeah, you are.
I'm not being a homer. I'm telling you, I think it's most talented.
Why his voice gets so loud?
Because it angers me when you accuse me of homerism.
You're right.
Although it's very flattering that a Steeler calls me a Steelers homer. I kind of like that.
Well, you are. But I when you look at it though, I think Pittsburgh. You're right. Pittsburgh has the best chance, just in the fact that you have a quarterback that's been.
And he agrees with me.
I'm just being honest. You have a quarterback that knows how to win late. And your receivers are playing. I mean, as long as you can throw the go ball to Martavis, that's going to open up everything.
No yep.
Just plain and simple. That threat alone is going to open up everything underneath. And then you have AB on the other side doing damage. I mean, right now, and then Jesse James, he's playing
yep.
well.
Yep. 6'7", tight end. The other thing is, too, is that they were able to generate a pass rush against the Colts. That's not an indication of anything special against the Colts, but still worth watching. If James Harrison and
James
company
Harrison
can keep that going.
James Harrison at 37 had three sacks.
Crazy. Speaking of sacks, the guy who's perceived to be the best at it in football, we can debate that at another time. MJD, you said something fascinating. J.J. Watt, everybody's throwing parades for him, genuflecting at J.J. Watt's altar. You say he's overrated. Why?
Overrated, I just say, like, you can't put him in the same categories as some of these greats, guys that rushed on the same side all the time, because J.J. Watt gets to pick and choose where he wants to rush. If he finds a weak spot, I'm going to rush against this guy and get sacks. And that's good for their team. I mean, that's what their defense is built around. So he gets to pick and choose. But, you know, those great ones, when you talk about
Reggie White, Bruce Smith,
even Michael Strahan, I mean, he stayed on the same side. Or Warren Sapp, you could give him – he rushed from the three technique all the time. You know,
and so your point is that J.J. Watt identifies who's Waldo on the offensive line, who's the weak link.
Exactly.
And then he says to the rest of sorry, guys, I get the bum
they,
on the
and
line.
They all move around. Yeah, and they all move around. They adjust to him.
Why doesn't anybody say, no, I'm not moving? Why doesn't every great pass rusher do that to his teammates
J.J.
then?
Watt. I mean, J.J. Watt, regardless. I don't know about overrated MJD. I can say he gets a lot of – he's a good hype, man. And he might get
that's
too much
–
too much hype than we need to give him. But at the same time, this
he's
man...
He's still getting sacks.
He's getting sacks. At a tight end position. I mean, line up, go in a huddle on a goal line on offense and be like, what play we about to run? Man, just go to the flat, run to the flat, I'm going to throw you the ball. Or matter of fact, man, take one of these receivers out, line up at the receiver, everybody and their mama know they're going to J.J. Watt.
That's why I try to say it's not overrated, but he is overhyped.
Yeah, I think so.
Right, because it's just like, again... I would want to go against the best of the best. Like we played the Colts one year, and Bob Sanders wasn't playing. And they were like, oh, you should be happy. I was like, no, I want to measure myself. At that time, he just came off of being Defensive Player of the Year. Let me measure myself.
Let me see where I'm at.
Let me test my gangster. Yeah.
Well,
you don't see that as much.
On his way, we'll see if he gets Defensive Player of the Year. I think Josh Norman's ultimately going to get that the way he's been playing down there.
Two sacks
in
the last 4 to 6 games, he's been J.J. Watt been playing ball.
Yeah, no, he absolutely has. Speaking of sacks, Akbar Bajabiamila had 2.
Shaq.
He had 2 in his entire career in the NFL.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, 2. That's 2 more than I had.
No, he didn't. He now, had 2?
Yeah, how many did you think he had?
Akbar didn't have no 2.
How many did you have?
Sacks?
Yeah.
I think I got 2.
Really? 2 career?
Tell him out.
Akbar has drafted.
How many has he played, though?
4. He didn't play a lot.
You wouldn't say that, man. He played a lot.
No, I'm saying, like, he didn't play a long time to gather up those things.
Don't you defend him, Maurice. Yeah. I won't have you defend him.
He was a pass rush. He came in on certain situations when guys got tired. He was a speed rusher on the edge.
Just with the two?
I have the numbers. Ike Taylor had 3 sacks in his career.
Oh, my bad.
Ike Taylor had more than Akbar.
Akbar had 3 because he got 1 on Sunday.
That doesn't count. That was anti-Semitism on display. Hey, let me show you game day blitz.
Can you check a stat for me, please, man?
Check Akbar's stat?
Yeah, please. I hope it's not.
I got you in the back of the net.
I hope it's not.
Oh, it's 2. All right, it's 2. MJD maybe wants to attribute his 3rd career sack from Sunday on game day blitz. We get together. We watch all the games on NFL Now. Akbar shows up for some of the time. Let's take a look at what he did. He was doing a little demo for us on the fake field out there. Mark Iztok was supposed to protect my blind side. He didn't.
Paying your lineman. You don't feel
I it. Didn't even know it was live. Take a look. I didn't know that the play was live here.
You can't have an offensive lineman on a diet.
Said hit. Bop. Oh.
You can't put that.
Shaq, why you do?
Because he.
You can't. You can't leave your butt like that. Can you bring that back black tie?
He dropped the hammer. Watch the right hand. Watch the right hand on me.
Listen. Your butt, right? You can't do
that. Why you do that, Shaq?
You can't be that.
And the ball came out, Shaq. That's a live ball.
That's somebody daddy. You're somebody daddy.
I didn't know what was going on.
You're somebody daddy. You can't be in that position right there.
See that?
You can't be in that as a man.
You better burn that stuff, Shaq.
Hey, Black Tie, can you run that back one more time?
I don't know. Now it's getting mean-spirited because I want you to understand something. Look, hey, Akbar hey, Baji Biyamila.
No,
he fell so hard on his knees.
Baji Biyamila is an anti-Semite attacking a poor Jewish person hey, of, you know.
Watch out, Shaq! You can't be in that position right there, Shaq.
Did you see him drop the hammer on me, though? That right mitt came across my neck
I saw this all fours. Wow. right there.
No,
right
see, what you didn't see in slow-mo is you see I'm tossing the ball back to the ref from my knees. But most of look at that. Who's on his feet first?
His elbows.
Who's on his feet
first?
He fell
on his hand. He fell on his elbows.
Damashek is on his feet first, back in the huddle, calling the play.
The ball, you're on the sideline because you fumbled. They were covered.
I didn't. I was on my knees. That was Shaq, not.
That was probably the funniest
maybe they had to check the tape and review it, Shaq, but we challenged it with the red flag.
That was probably the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life.
That was hilarious.
Can I tell you something?
It hurt.
Legitimately, it hurt.
I know it did.
He dropped that right mitt across my shoulder.
I know it did.
It hurt. I didn't know it was. 1 minute I'm standing still. Next thing I know, there's a monster of a man is running down from behind me, dropping a hammer on me.
Give him a little elbow when he was on the ground. Watch the elbow.
Can you see him wind that right hand up?
He tried the elbow.
He hit me hard.
Oh, look at him. He acted like he blacked out, too.
Hey, yeah, if you're listening.
Look, Sharp Mark got in the way.
You see him wind that thing up to drop it on me.
Hey, Iztok at least got in the way in the very beginning. He slowed him down. Look.
He tried. Don't worry about it.
Shame on.
Look at it.
Look at Iztok backpedaling up out of there, and he got up out of there.
You know what?
He got missing.
Yeah, you got to get.
I rank it like this. One, shame on Akbar for the attack. It was vicious. It was senseless.
You should sue him.
And it was just plain mean-spirited, too. Mark Iztok did very little, if anything, to protect my blind side. Like, I feel like
Akbar had like a little relapse. He kind of meant
what that. Happened to him there?
obviously, he ain't get to the quarterback enough, so he got a chance.
I know. All of a sudden, he gets bloodthirsty out there on the fake field and hammers me. But three, the hero is Damashek. Because why? Because I got back into the huddle and I called the next play. I just shrugged it off. I hurting? I was. I was hurting, yes. But I didn't let anybody know it at the time. I jumped right back up. I'm like, what? No big deal. That's all you got, Akbar?
Shaq, you're left-handed, right?
That's right.
That wasn't your blind side.
No, I know. See, that shows you how ill-prepared I was for even the play. Had I known, I would have scrambled away.
Akbar got him.
Are you going to have Akbar on the Shaq show?
Never again. From this point forward, even mentioning that name will get you.
That's how you feel?
Wow.
I'll talk with Akbar next Sunday. Let's move on here for a second. It's the holiday season, and speaking of jerks, I want to revisit something. Everybody's seen it. Ike, I asked you the other day, you're familiar with the holiday classic, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, right? The little, like, puppety kind of production they have. Have you seen that one, Maurice?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody behind the glass, you know that one? That, you know, the Rudolph, and his friend Dennis the Dentist, and the Island of Misfit Toys and everything. I feel like every year I bring this up, and it's the same thing. As much as I love stuffing at Thanksgiving, this is how much I hate what happens in this Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer thing, but I think it could be instructive to NFL head coaches. Early in the show, in the special, Rudolph is born. He's a baby in a cave. His mama reindeer is right there, and she's happy to have him. Donner is his father, the famous one. There's Rudolph right there with Santa. So he's born. He's minutes old. Donner, his own father, first thing he says, he's ashamed that his son has a red nose.
Jealous.
Jealous?
Took the spotlight from him.
Well, literally, it's a spotlight that he has on his nose. But his old man is ashamed. Oh, no, don't let Santa find out. And all of a sudden, who shows up at the cave door? Santa, his boss. Santa comes in. Oh, hello, I have to meet this new little baby reindeer because he's going to be on my team one day. Then Rudolph's nose goes red. Santa goes, well, you better fix that or else he's not going to be on my team. I don't know what you call it. I mean, it's prejudiced is what it is.
It is.
It's prejudice against poor Rudolph. And Santa, as soon as he talks bad about a little baby helpless reindeer, he immediately launches into a self-congratulatory song. They go, I am old Kris Kringle. I'm the king of jingling. And Rudolph and the
that
mom are
good.
Thank you. But then Donner's so upset about this, he takes dirt from the ground and he rubs it on his old baby reindeer's nose. Covers it up. Covers up the shame.
Rudolph is the black sheep of the family.
He is, but you know what? That's exactly right. That's my point. And the thing is, to me, shouldn't Rudolph have said when they need him all of a sudden, oh, hey, Rudolph, we need that red nose. Shouldn't he have said, no, you should have come to me when you shouldn't have said the bad stuff about
him. See, that's the real world. You know, all this other stuff is like make-believe. Like, oh, you just gonna kick me while I'm down, treat me like dirt, then I'm gonna help you when you need me?
No, isn't right. Thank you.
They'd be like, hey, man, I'm cool. I'm over here with
NFL
the rest of these cats. I'm over here with the rest of these cats shooting dice and playing cards.
Rudolph, you have an invite here. So I'm right about this then. Yeah. I'm not overly sensitive. Rudolph should have given him the hi-hat. Hey, Santa.
Should have gave him the finger.
Screw. Yeah, I'm not showing up to help you.
You know, Shaq, that's me and MJD situation, man. Like, you know, ain't not too many people wanted us.
Nope.
And I think it's also interesting, these intractable coaches are sort of like Santa is, and they need to be more like Bill Belichick. He doesn't see... Belichick would see Rudolph and go, I can use that. I can figure out a trick for that. The guys that are stuck in their ways, they're Santa. They're Donner. They're old news, that's and they shouldn't
different.
Have been allowed
they,
to...
They don't like the two different
Shaq,
kind of guys.
Shaq, you're getting too deep, man.
He's getting real deep.
You're getting too deep, man.
All right, I want you two to get deep because that's right. It's time for the latest installment of our relationship advice segment. We've done a lot of good so far already. It started out as just Ike Taylor doing it, but you know what? Maurice is so insightful. You hear his football insights, but he understands the game of life, and that's what is even more important. So let's get into it, fellas. Relationship questions for Dear Ikey.
I would like to know his favorite cologne when he goes on a date.
There you have it. Terrence Newman of the Minnesota Vikings, your fellow cornerback and one of our favorites here on the DDFP, too. What kind of cologne?
They got a cologne called 1 Million.
Oh.
Yeah.
My wife loves it.
Yeah. Get off me. Get it. Every time I put it on,
ladies,
she on me.
Get away from me.
Get off me. Just 1 Million or Versace, a.k.a. Versace.
So
it's blue bottle.
But the 1 million is so powerful, in fact, it might be a detriment to your lifestyle. You can't even walk down the street because the ladies will get you.
It's not the Sex Panther, is it?
It's something like that. Like that
you know, 1 million. What is it? Seth, the Sex Panther was real.
Yeah.
Well,
for me, Shaq, it was a cologne I used to have. It was like Aqua D or something. You know, you heard it. It was like a lot of people had it. Was a nice subtle, it wasn't too much, but when they got close, it just...
I'm telling you, every time I walk in that makeup room, they like, young man, you smell good.
Really?
And I say, thank you.
All right, so that was a good little hors d'oeuvre, a little warm up. Now, like I said earlier, let's think globally and act locally. Let's help some of our friends behind the glass there. A little too close there, Ike.
Okay.
Right. Anyway, it's time for the goth kid now, Matt Gothard. Gothard, you have a lot of life changes. First of all, mazel tov. I understand you're now engaged, eh?
Yes, thank you very much. I'm super
Congratulations.
Excited.
Yeah, that's terrific.
She's a girl of my dreams. Actually, that's what brings me here today, guys. Unfortunately, I'm a Chicago Bears fan.
Right.
And she comes from a Green Bay Packers family.
Oh, house divided.
House divided. And her parents have said that they will not come to our wedding because I'm a Bears fan. What would you do to fix this?
That's a tough one, because I'm rough.
That's a tough one. They will be at their daughter's wedding. They just blowing smoke.
Empty threat, I see.
Yeah, so don't worry about that. But go on, get the cake. For the wedding, get the half of cake, get half of Chicago, and get half of Green Bay.
That's called problem solving.
That's deep, because I would have been like, well, don't come.
You feel like how I felt.
Yeah, that's disrespectful.
But I get it, though. They're coming to their daughter's wedding.
What you should do, and I think this is the best part, have everything else Chicago Bears, and then where they're sitting, be Green Bay.
That would be nice, their own little corner.
Yeah, that's it. But
make them, but then force them to stay in it. Well, no, you're not allowed to enjoy the rest of the festivities.
Exactly. Yeah, you want to
split that cake up.
Hey, but Gothard, you're a very young man. What are you, 22?
23.
23? What do we think about getting married at that age?
Oh, they say love doesn't have an age. I kind of feel like that's kind of early, you know, in my career. But if you're happy, if you like it, I love it.
Thank you.
So I'm going to go with you. Regardless on how I feel, it's your life. You got to make that decision. So, man, if that makes you happy, make her happy. I'm all aboard.
Can I tell you something? The Dear Ikey segment reveals a softer side to Ike Taylor, but I also like the yin and yang of the emotional rainbow, and Maurice Jones-Drew provides the hammer to it. Go ahead. What do you think about that?
I just feel like there's so much more to life, you know? Have you traveled the world yet?
The world as in outside of Iowa? I mean, I came out here to L.A., but that's about as far as I've made it.
That's the problem.
Yeah, that's the problem. You gotta see the world.
What do you say? So what, he might see something in Spain that he likes?
Yeah, just go and have fun. You know, because marriage comes a commitment. You know, I know you guys, we were talking before the show, you guys are moving in together. Does she do things that kind of pisses you off a little bit?
Oh, all the time.
Yeah, you got to be willing to, you know, that's going to be a lifetime commitment.
Absolutely.
Because once you put that ring on, it's forever. It's a forever thing.
Put your pride aside with a lot of things. You do, your thoughts, the things you're used to doing, you can't do no more.
None of that.
That sounds fun.
No, for real. Like, it becomes a we thing instead of a me thing. You know what I'm saying? But if you truly love this woman, then you're able to put a lot of things aside, and it shouldn't be an issue. She just got to reciprocate the same thing back.
You got to have daily talks, and make sure you do date nights too.
Date nights. Oh, don't change that. Date nights. The same way you got her and the same love you have for her, keep that going. Keep that intensity going, man. Keep that ball moving. Don't get stale in the relationship. That's the number one problem. Mm-hmm. When people get married, everything stops and becomes stale.
Don't want it to be stale.
Nah, keep that flow going, man. Have them date nights. Enjoy her.
Absolutely.
Is what I'm going to tell you. Enjoy your woman. That's exactly what I'm going to tell you.
Thanks. Look at him.
Thank you, Ike. You're my hero, man. You really are.
132 pounds, Matt Gothard, there he is.
132 soaking wet.
Yeah, 120 pounds of it is all heart, though. That's Matt Gothard for you. Next up, who else is going to ask a question? Emma VP or G4? Emma VP, sad news, fellas. A real MVP for us here on the DDFP. Done gangbusters work, and this is her second-to-last show before she departs, at least for a little while. We hope we'll have her back sooner rather than later. Emma VP, what's going to become of you?
I'm sad. I want to stick around, yeah.
Part of the family.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to go home with my family. We'll hang out.
Is there a question that you might ask of Dear Ikey and MJD? Something that you need as you venture out into the great unknown here?
Well, you know, the holidays are coming up, and I think my boyfriend and I said that we weren't going to get anything for each other this year. Should I still get him something?
No question.
Ooh.
That's what I'm
thinking. But you put him in a tough situation.
No.
You're going to put him in a tough situation.
But get something small.
Yeah.
Get something small.
Can I tell you what happened?
What?
So, for me, it was my first time having, this past offseason, the first time I was able to be home for our anniversary, me and my wife, right? It's 3 years. The other times I've been training, so I'd had to, go through someone to go to a dinner or something. So I went all out, man. I got candles. I packed a little basket. I had the scent. You know, I had the little rose petals in there. It was nice. And she got me some Pichos.
What are Pichos?
Candy.
You like Pichos?
Love Pichos.
That's why.
But it was just like, it was awkward because that's how it was going on before.
It's
it's the little things.
Wait, the Pichos were all right then? Or were you a little raw and you remain a little raw?
You feel like, damn, I went all out.
It wasn't, it was just like, this is the first time I could do something, so I wanted to go all out. And normally she usually goes all out, so the tie is kind of turned on.
Ike!
Now I see.
I say consistency is important.
Always.
I am late all the time to stuff, And people say, like, Dave, why are you late? I'm like, I'm doing what I always do. I'm consistent, you see. Dave, you didn't send a card to your sister on her birthday. Yeah, I never have. So, I mean, that shouldn't be disruptive to anybody. Now, my mother, I forgot to mention, by the way, Mo Damashek sent a text message. She is none too pleased with Akbar Baja Biamila. She is a vengeful.
I thought we wasn't mentioning his name anymore.
Oh, you're right. That's the last time that name will ever be mentioned. But I will say she is an avenging angel, and she will get that guy. Be careful of your backside, you. You know who I'm talking about, too. You know who I'm talking to. You. Mo Damashek's coming for you. She is a force, and she threatened you won't know her. But anyway.
Do y'all have plans? Do you have any plans? Are you going to see his family or he see your family for Christmas?
We're
going
to go to his family.
Yeah?
Yeah, we tried to switch it up.
Well, y'all do a movie night together.
Yeah, yep. That's nice. Get tickets.
Get a movie y'all like. Get a movie he likes, whether he likes action movies, comedy. Just get a movie, and y'all too. After y'all finish with the family, go out and have a date night.
And I like
some
it.
Quality time with each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause you don't want, like, if you get him a certain gift and he's gonna feel awkward. You don't want that.
I got you.
And I think that's the best thing to do.
Very nice. The other thing I'll throw in is what I don't like is when people give utilitarian gifts, which what I mean is a lot of people will tell me what they want.
Oh,
well, don't tell me what you want. You know, like, hey, I really need a new fry pan. I really would love all new kitchen kind of stuff. I'm not getting you stuff that you need to cook with. Why? I love cooking. I don't care. You're asking.
If you read him between the lines, he's about to settle in a few.
But am I right? That's no good. That's not fun. Get them something that they aren't expecting to get. Don't give them something they're asking for. That's no fun.
He's not ready yet to.
He's still working. I think I do know.
Exactly. You give something exciting, something unexpected. You don't, hey, remember how you asked for a pot? Here's your pot. You know?
He's fighting himself. He's talking to himself.
You know, I get every Christmas, I get a wallet, socks, and underwear.
See, that's not...
quality.
Quality.
Oh, you like that?
I need that. That's what I need.
So I don't want need. I'll go buy what I need. Give me something fun that I didn't expect.
No, the need is always coming.
Well, Shaq, when you got everything you want, I mean...
I've got everything I want sitting right here at this table.
Hey, Shaq is fighting himself.
Yeah.
Somebody asked him for a pot.
Yeah, he tells the
truth.
I'm not
giving.
He tells the truth, right?
He tells the truth.
That's right. That is true. G4, you're last up. Director G4, do you have a question for Dear Ike and MJD?
Dear Ike, dear MJD, my brother's from another mother. Hi there. How you guys doing? Good to see you.
All right, hey, Richard man. Nixon, let's go.
Okay, so question for you guys.
He confused me on that one.
Because he did the move of Richard
Nixon.
Yeah,
he did the Richard Nixon. Like got me.
I am no crook.
I like it.
So what do we do for a nice romantic dinner? Do we go to my place or do we go something that she likes to go?
Ooh. For the lady?
For the lady.
Oh.
Your place. So, that's a little.
Usually, do y'all go out to eat?
We go out to eat.
So we got to do your place.
Can we go to my place?
You got to set your place up nice, though.
You got to have candles.
You got to have the rose petals walking in from to the table. You got to set the candles a nice placement. What music she like?
Oh, the music.
We got to get some Luther.
You got to get some Luther.
Oh, big Luther.
You got to get the big Luther.
Big Luther.
You got to get the big Luther and play the big Luther and just express your love to her as y'all sit down eating wine and dine.
And drop the petals as we...
The pedals should be on the ground when she comes in.
Yeah, or they could be on the table, in the centerpiece of the table.
Ask her to take her shoes off or take her shoes off for her.
Ooh.
When she walks through the door.
That's too much. Take her shoes off for her?
No question.
You gotta.
It's
hey,
the little things, man.
Shaq, it's the things that you won't do.
I don't do that because I'm not her servant. I'm not a servant.
That's
to help.
Somebody else to do. Remember that. Always remember that.
It's a good warning. Yeah. You know, the thing I would throw into that is I would say have a professional cleaning service come by to your house because women generally are cleaner than guys, and what you think is an acceptable level of cleanliness may not be for her, especially the bathroom. Get it spick and span more than you think you need it.
When you do certain things like that, you have to make sure you take the proper time. If you're going to clean, make sure you clean the day before, get everything going, or hire a maid service. Mm-hmm. You go out and you cook. Because it's always a thought that counts. It could taste horrible, but if she, you know, you got the apron on.
It's
and
the
you,
time and the preparation.
That's what really matters.
I don't like when people tell me that I'm dirty. And I say, I'm not dirty at all. I'm messy. And they say.
His house must be dirty.
And it's not dirty. Yeah. It's not. It's messy.
You know where it starts from? Check the car.
The car will let you know what the house is like.
Oh, don't look at my car because Ike is on to something. That's 100% right. My car is a filthy mess. But it's not dirty. Again, there's a key distinction. Dirty is, you know, muck and mire all over the place. Filth. My stuff isn't that. It's just messy.
Is there dirty clothes that is laying
Not everywhere? Dirty. No, clean clothes, but in a pile. They've come out of the washing machine and been dried, but then instead of going into the drawer, they'll just like go in a plop in a pile somewhere. That doesn't make me dirty. That just makes me messy. And I get into big arguments the difference.
Let's check his car.
I ain't checking this.
That's going to let you know what his house like.
I don't want no part of that because he might have rats in his car. What he talking about just leaving clothes out there after.
Well, when it comes down to being clean, the apple don't fall far from the tree. So your car tells how your house
is. Oh, always. All right. Shaq, let me see your shoes.
My shoe? Well, these are new shoes, so that's not going to prove much anything. So
that's nice.
We'll check back in 2 weeks. Those will be they'll be brown.
The Pumas, the dark Pumas are always the ones that tell the truth.
those aren't very good. All right, mostly successful, but somehow I feel like I wound up in the crosshairs.
You're telling on yourself.
So that's a wrap.
If you have a question to ask, this is what we're here for.
Well,
we're
guys,
here for you, Shaq.
You did very nice. You're really our angel and devil here for emotional, for relationship type questions. So good stuff, Gothard, MVP, G4. Ike Taylor and MJD, they are becoming the very best in the business for your football advice and comedy advice, too. Your entertainment needs can also be satisfied by these two fellas. NFL Now is where you go to find them all week long. Celebration Station, the Fashion Popo, so on and so forth. Programming, though, Game Day Blitz, which I referred to. NFL Now next Sunday, special guest star. The legend, Larry King.
Oh, man.
I'm not talking about somebody named Larry King, but not that Larry King.
No,
I'm talking about that Larry King is coming in because he's a fan of Ike and MJD.
Yeah, he's a fan of Ike. I just kind of jumped on the bandwagon.
And he's going to be on Celebration Station with you guys, right? Or Fashion Popo.
So, oh, yeah.
If he comes the NFL Now.
Yeah, he wanted to see Ike. I just followed him. He followed me back. So I was like, oh, we get a game.
Can you imagine?
Swap for a swap.
Larry King. What a great time that's going to be. But to prove to you the difference, see, this isn't dirty. This is just being messy. I'm going to throw this for you now. We'll talk to you in front of week 14. We'll give you all the picks. So we'll football, baby. We'll have some other fun in hooey and applesauce for you. In the meantime, thanks so much, football fans. It's been a thin slice.
Your house is real dirty, huh?
No, it's not dirty. It's just messy like this. This is how it gets messy.
Find out more on the next DDFP.